Okay, we are picking up from Mem Hey Amud Aleph, the top of the Gemara Ibais Ema. Just to remind ourselves, we're holding our learning is once again sponsored Lo'ilu Nishma Shulamis Bas Yaakov and the Neshama Sharon Aliyah. This is probably one of the shortest topics in all Shas. We have the three lines on the next Mem Hey Amud Beis, and this one is like six lines. So really, seven lines. So 10 lines of Gemara here. We'll probably do it a little bit quicker than we normally do, but we're going to obviously be able to spend time just fleshing out the exact cases of the Gemara. So the Gemara discussing again a kasha we had on the Shita of Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish who wanted to explain that the din over here was talking about the stira and the braces that they both have to be according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that the right to retract during the first 3 days, if no one has taken possession of it, is going to be a din deraisa. And the fact that you can is a din derabanan. So according to Reish Lakish, the braisa is going to be a problem because why would you be putter from the case of Meiser? Since the person is retracting and it's a level of deraisa, he's going to be even mid deraisa chayev to take off Meiser from this produce. Since he got up early, in the case again, we're talking about the second braisa where the guy got up early and picked up the grapes, we must assume that he retracted his hefker. And even though Rabbi Yossi agrees that the original hefker acquires that the original owner may reacquire his hefker without retracting it, still we don't assume that this is what he meant unless he said so explicitly. So if we don't assume that way, so the chora it's going to be a kashin Reish Lakish, how could it be that he answers? So the first answer we gave was that really, that there's a stira, right? There's different, not every braisa has to be according to the same opinion. This other braisa, I agree, is the shita of the rabbanan. That was the first answer we gave at the end of yesterday's daf. Now on the top of Memhamed Aleph, our daf over here, Ibais Imi Gigov never answers that both braces actually follow the Shita of Rabbi Yossi according to Reish Lakish. And what's the difference? Have the Afkere Be'ape Train. The first braisa that Reish Lakish explained according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi is speaking of a case where the guy decides to declare it ownerless only in front of two people. In that case, Rabbi Yossi holds it's less stringent and therefore you'd be allowed to retract such a hefker. The braisa tells us that if you retract it within 3 days, that's going to be effective and the field is subject to Meiser. So that's what we're meaning over here. It's the same halacha. It doesn't mean lav davka two as opposed to one. It'd be the same thing. It just means not three. As the hemshech we're going to see, the Ran points it out. Whereas the latter brisa, the one that we asked about the grapes in the vineyard, is exempt from meiser. Speaking of a case where he declared it ownerless in front of three people, in such a case, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that such a declaration of hefker would not be allowed to be retracted. Why not? Because Rabbi Yossi understands that saying something is hefker, you're able to retract it until someone takes possession of it. Right? Just as we saw before that Rabbi Yochanan explained that he compares it just like giving a gift, similarly to hefker. So if someone gives a gift, then obviously I'm allowed to renege on it until the person actually takes hold of it. So when it comes to hefker, if I just do it in front of one or two people, it's not necessarily going to become Yadua, that it's not necessarily known that that's what I made had hefker. So therefore, the owner makes his declaration because he wishes the property to remain available to him to be able to renege on it and to go back. A hefker is going to be similar to a gift. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi. However, when a hefker is done in front of three people, which is definitely something that everybody will know about, and he clearly means to say what he's saying, then obviously the owner's intention to make the property hefker is available to the entire world, and the hefker of this manner is something which is not similar to a gift, and even Rabbi Yossi would then agree to the Shita of the Rabbanan in this case that you would be allowed, that you would not be allowed rather to renege on such a thing. You cannot retract that because it's very strong, what you meant was pretty clear from your statement. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara is bringing a proof that we can make such a chilak between making something hefker in front of three as opposed to in front of two. Someone who declares something ownerless and specifically in front of three people, so therefore you're not allowed to retract it, that is only in front of three. But if you do so in front of two people, it's not ownerless. It's not going to be something which you can't remove the hefker. You could still retract your declaration. L'chora, this is understanding within Rabbi Yossi. So that's the Shaila. The Rishonim point out, the Rabbi Natam and Toysos, he points out that in Echanami, Rabbi Yochanan seems to follow the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, who understands, because he's talking about Halacha Maisa, he understands that Hefker can be retracted, and he's saying only it can be retracted if it's less than three people. If it's three people or more, that clearly shows that that's what you meant, and therefore you're not able to retract such a Hefker. Bifnei Shnayim, lo have a Hefker. But if you do so in front of two people, that is not considered Hefker. So again, as we pointed out, that was the reason for the distinction. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Dvar Torah Afilu Be'echad Avi Hefker. According to Din D'oraisa, even if in front of one person, it's completely ownerless, it can no longer be retracted. That's the Ashita of the Rabbanan, who hold that Hefker is immediately not mine, even if the other person doesn't take hold of it, and therefore even one person, it's okay. Uma tam amr b'shlosha. So, but he agrees on mid Rabbanan. We do require three. Why? Kadeshia adam zoche ushnaim me'idim. In order, just the Rabbanan made this takana basically to show you can't reverse it. Because let's say only two people were there, and I make something Hefker, and then the other guy is Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven makes it Hefker, and Shimon grabs it right away after Reuven makes it Hefker. And Shimon and Reuven say, no, it's a joke, I didn't really say it Hefker. So they'll say, no, you didn't mean it Hefker. Levi's here, he sees it. So he says, bring the witnesses. Levi's only one witness. I can deny what he said. If you have three people there, so if you have three people besides for the guy, Reuven makes it Hefker. And then Levi quickly takes possession of it. So then, Shimon takes possession of it. So then if you have Levi and Yehuda there, who are witnesses, they're going to be able to testify that he denied it, that it's not correct that he denied it. What happened is, it really was Hefker, and therefore it's like a Eitz HaTovah of Chazal. The Rabbanan made this in order that you have a weight of three to make sure that you should be able to understand what happened in front of witnesses, would be able to declare that you really did make it Hefker. You can't just deny it later and say, I didn't really mean it or whatever. If you have witnesses that say you really did mean it, then obviously that would be a good Hefker. Others understand that the Chachamim invalidated Hefker made in less than three because of a different point. Back to the din of Meiser. If Hefker could be retracted only in front of three people, then a person would be afraid to actually declare his field Meiser, his field Hefker, because as a harama, because what is he going to assume? That one of those three people, definitely one of them is going to want this field, and he's going to take it, and he's going to have witnesses against him, and therefore this really goes back to the original din of not making haramas, not cheating on Meister. That's why we have this din. Okay. So that is the halacha from our Mishnah. The Rishonim has the kasha, the Rishonim are very bothered by this, but what do you mean? We had our Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel, 2 dafim ago, if you remember, where we had the case where the guy was modar anah from his friend, and it's only the two of them. The guy could put it on the rock and make it hefker. Wait a second, there's not three people over there, what's going on? So the Rishonim point out, yeah, you're right, there's not three people there, what are we talking about? It's a din der Rabbanan, and we're talking about a case where the guy has nothing to eat, obviously that's a great tzorech, and the Rabbanan were not gozer in such a case. They're not gozer, and therefore, that's okay. That's one shita. Tosfos understand that the whole idea of being mafkir in front of three, even mid der Rabbanan, is only with regards to a field, because the whole purpose, again, according to Lashitasam, was to avoid cheating on Meiser. So the whole halacha, the whole point of having three, was only said by the halachas of a field. It does not apply to metaltlin, and therefore you can't do it in front of one person. So there's a big enough kamina halacha lemaisa, is that halacha lemaisa, can one be mafkir something in front of less than three people? So lechora, that would be lechora something which is going to be a big shaila. That's a big shaila. Lechora also our declaration of hefker is not necessarily done in three people with regards to not getting into so much, but psachim on erev Pesach when we make our any of the chametz that we don't know about, we make it hefker gafra da'ara lechora over there. We are not doing it in front of three people either. Okay, that's a big shaila. But going back to over here, that according to Rabbi Shub and Levi, though, he understands that even on a level of Doraisa, Hefker has to be done in front of at least one other person. So that's a big shaila. So that Lechora, because making Hefker by yourself, Lechora, even if you admit to it after, but no one was there, it's like kind of like an Eid Lekiyum Adavar, the famous Rav Chaim, that there's an Eidus Levurei Adavar, like with Mammon. If I give Reuven a loan of $1,000, not in front of witnesses, obviously Reuven has to pay me back the $1,000. But if I have two witnesses, that obviously is going to strengthen my claim that he owes me the $1,000. As opposed to if I want to marry a woman, so I would say Areyat Mekudeshetli just in front of the woman, just me and her. So that is not, there's nothing was chal. That's Eidus Lekiyum Adavar, that if you don't have witnesses over there, it's like the Maisa doesn't even happen on a level there, right? Even Derbanan there is no Kiddushin if you don't do it in front of witnesses. So that's the point over here, that you need this aid apparently to establish that the Hefker is even chal. Here's only one, not two, but that's a machlokes. And actually, the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes both deis. So it's a very interesting, fascinating discussion over here. That's the case. Okay. So with that, we finish Hadronalach Ein Ben Amoder, Hadronalach Ein Ben Amoder, Hadronalach Ein Ben Amoder. Now we're turning on to Hashutfin. This is only three lines of Gemara over here. So the Gemara is discussing Hashutfin Shinadru Ana Zemizeh. So here we're discussing if people are partners in ownership. And, so they make a Nadar Ana from one to the other. They say, each one declared that the property of his friend is going to be a konam to himself. Therefore, they're also derived benefit from each other. The Gemara is going to discuss in tomorrow's daf whether or not the Mishnah's halacha would apply even when they make the neder on the other. Not that you declare your own property, but you declared his own property should be a konim to the other person. Here we're talking about where each one took a neder promoting themselves to derive benefit from the other. There's a difference. Here it's on them going to the other person as opposed to their field on, or their property on the other guy. The Gemara is going to handle whether or not that is in fact the same halacha. But either way, so what's the Mishnah tell us? Asurin lekanas lechatzer. They're going to be asur to enter the courtyard. So the courtyard over here, if you mentioned, and going back to Erevin may scar some people, but the concept of Erevin, the Sharikas, they still have places like this where you have, have three or four apartments that they all come into the same chatzer, and that chatzer is shared. The kids can play there, whatever they do in that shared common area. So that was, and the times of Mishnah, that's how like all the houses were built. They used to have chatzeros. That's the whole idea of Erevin. That's the whole idea of Erevin. Half of Erevin discusses that. So when you have a section of the courtyard, l'chora, it's owned by everybody who is an owner of that property. So therefore, if either of them is going on this chatzer, so then you're going on the land that is partially owned by the person you asked to derive benefit from. So you're not allowed to do that. So again, generally, even though people don't know mind when you walk through this chatzer, but here you're still enjoying benefit, from the other person, and that's still going to be something which is usher. That is the shita of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says, no. Ze nechnas l'soch shelo, v'ze nechnas l'soch shelo. That this one enters his own portion and this one enters his own portion. They're allowed to enter the courtyard because when each one enters it, he's considered going in his own portion. And he's not deriving benefit from his friend. He does not say that each person has to lay out what's his area. We're not dividing into sections. Rather, he's just saying that each partner is allowed to use the entire chatzer. The Gemara is going to understand that this applies specifically to a chatzer, which is not divisible, that it was too small to divide. But if it was something to divide, then maybe Lezer Yaakov wouldn't have said his statement. So the Ran quotes that the Gemara Bava Kama tells us that what exactly is the Yesod HaMachlokas between Lezer Yaakov and the Rabbanan? It's about the concept of Breira. Now what's Breira? Breira is retroactively clarifying what you do at a later point. So that's a classic example. Is the Gemara in Gittin talks about if a person says to the guy writing him a get, he's married to multiple wives, he's married to Sarah, Rachel, and Leah. He says, write a get, so you need lishma. That's a din d'oraisa that you need lishma. So he says, write a get for a wife, and later I'm going to tell you, I'm going to decide which one I want. So it is lishma, because later you've established, you told the sofer at the time, you didn't tell him who it was, you weren't even sure. But later you're retroactively clarifying when you say a day later, you know what, I want to divorce Sarah. So now, when you want to divorce Sarah, what happens? Retroactively, it shows, and when you told the sofer, retroactively, that's showing that you really meant you wanted to divorce Sarah the whole time. So that's the concept of Brera. It's a big machlokas in the Gemara. Do we hold of Brera, do we not? We're gonna get into that in the round a little bit, but that's the Shaila. But that's the concept of Brera. Brera is retroactively clarifying what you meant when it wasn't clear at the time, Bishas Maisa. So here, when the get, it's not clear. He married multiple wives. He has Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel. He's married to all three of them. And he's not sure which wife he's divorcing. So he says, I'm gonna tell you right now, he himself isn't sure, but later when he clarifies it the next day, let's say, he says, I really want to divorce Sarah. So that's retroactive, and that would be the concept of Brera. If you hold of Yesh Brera, it would be a good get. The get is Chal, it's Lishma, it's okay. If you hold of Ein Brera, it would not be Chal. So the Gemara tells us that the Machlokes over here is also about Brera, because over here, when it comes to when each person's share is identified, so according to Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, what's happening is that your Brera, you're going to retroactively clarify whose it was from the outset. So when I'm walking in the front of that, when it meant that was mine from the outset, so therefore we hold the Yesh Brera, whereas the Rabbanan holds Ein Brera. So therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, when the chatzer is owned by partners, the share that each one eventually is going to have is going to be said to be his all along. Now, if it's too small to be divisible, the Gemara is going to be mukim the cases, so therefore, their ownership is going to be divided in the segments of the time that they're using it. And therefore, since it's being divided in the time they're using it, you're using the right, your property, it's considered your property, lemafreya, retroactively. However, the Rabbanan say there is no brera, and they hold that there's no brera, and therefore, they're going to be considered each part of each of them, and therefore it's Reuven's and Shimon's at the same time, and therefore you're not allowed to walk on this chater. Fine, that is the din over here. Okay, so that's the halacha according to that. So Ran has a question. The Ran asks why, this is a long arichos of the Ran over here, why according to Rabbanan should he be usher by neder from entering the chater? This partner does not have a legal right to prevent him from entering his own yard. His own ownership would tell him that he's allowed to enter his own yard. Since the right to enter is something that he himself owns, that's his right. So then that's a concept of Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ein Shelo. You're not allowed to assert a possession that's not yours. So over here, when you're making the neder, it shouldn't be pashut that part of the chatzer is not yours, and therefore I should be allowed to go into the property. So Ron answers that when the property is owned by the shutvim, each one is allowed to enter as whenever he wants. That's correct. That's a granted. That's a fact of what's going on. It's still impossible to say that each one owns a property in a society. You can't say that because right? Because it's still Reuven's and Shimon. So therefore, if we deny the concept of Brera, we can't say that each one is going to own it for the time that he's going in it. Really, it's really both of theirs. Yes, I have the right. I mean, it's like Eloi, that Reuven was giving me that right, if Shimon is no derech enough from him, that Reuven has given me the right to go into it. And Reuven doesn't have the right to give it to me because that's called Hana. And that's the point that the Ran is saying. And that's the idea. And he says that really that's based on the concept of a Shibud. Really, he has a Shibud to the property and therefore that would be the benefit that he's giving him. Okay. Very good. The Ran has another question. At the end of the day, when it comes to Brera, the Gemara is going to paskin seeming like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, but we paskin that there's no Brera on a level of Daraisa. This is a very big question. We hold of, we're machmir on Brera when it comes to Lachas Daraisa. That can come up. The things can come up about when we have Brera bismanazeh. So the Ran answers that the Gemara and Beitza is referring to a case that you have a higher level of qualification that has to happen for here. See, over here, here the Brera is a smaller amount of Brera that everybody would agree that it would be okay. That's a very fascinating run. Halacha Maisa, because it's important to know that not every Brera case, according to that, would be assumed that Medaraisa is not going to be Chal. Okay, fascinating run. So now, again, so the Mishnah says, Ashut Vishnadu Hanazem is Asur and the Kanas Lachatra. Lazar Nako says, Zenech Nasal Zelch Shalom, Vizenech Dachsel Zelch Shalom, just to explain at length, what's the Shita of Rev Lazar and Yaakov? Now the Mishnah continues turning on to Memva. We'll just go a little bit weiter and then we'll stop soon. Ushneim Asurin Lahamir Rechayim Vetanir Lagadar Tangona. Both agree, the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that only when it comes to coming to the Chatzar, because no one again has the authority to prevent the other from coming in. But Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that they're not allowed to use the Chatzar for any other purpose than walking through it. So therefore, if you're using it for this point, you're not allowed to have a mill, an oven, those things in the Chatzar, even according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Fine. Mishnah says another case. Now, echad mehem muder ana mechaviro. So then, lo yikanes lechatzer is not allowed to enter the common courtyard. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, yes, yachol lomar lo lezoch sheli ane nechnas ve'inu nechnas lezoch shelcha. I'm going in my own place, and I'm not going in yours. Again, this is the same machlokas we had before. The Ran points out, there's no difference between this when both partners are making the neder, or one of them is. The Mishnah is just repeating this to introduce the next halacha. That's what Ran says. The kofin is a no de limkor as chelka. For this point, we didn't say this yet. On this credit, if only one of made the neder, then we could force one of made the neder to sell a share of the chater. Since his use of the chater is restricted, whereas a partner is unrestricted, there's a concern that the person might lead him to violate his neder. So therefore, to make sure that he doesn't violate the neder, the chachamim made a takana that he has to sell his share in the chater. So that's in the Mishnah's previous case, they're both partners are equally restricted. They are not required to sell their shares. So similarly, if a person is a sole owner of the chater, he makes a neder prohibiting himself its benefit, he's not required to sell it. It's only in the case where here, where the shutaf, the other partner, sees his person using the chater, that we're concerned that there might be a violation of the neder. That's what the Ran points out over here. So the Gemara says, Haya echad mehem ashuk, I guess we'll just do one more case, so we'll stop over here already. Haya echad mehem ashuk moder be'echad mehem ana. If someone from a random stranger was a neder prohibiting him from one of the shutvim who owned the chatzer, lo yikanes the chatzer, he's not allowed to go to the chatzer, since he'd be deriving benefit from that shutaf. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yachay omer lo. Rabbi Elazar says, yes, he can tell the shutaf. Letoch shel chavercha, I'm not going into Reuven's part of the field, I'm going into Shimon's part of the field. I was neder not from Reuven, but Shimon I'm allowed to go to. So the Ran points out that according to the Tanakhama, the halachas are the same over here. Obviously, you're going to say, when the shutaf himself can't come into the chater, then kol shekein, this random guy who makes the neder, obviously is not allowed to come in. The whole point of the Mishnah, according to the Ran, is to teach us the chiddush in Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that even a case over here of the random guy, he himself is also allowed to say that he's not using Reuven's part of the field, he's losing Shimon. When it's not even Reuven, when it's not even Shimon himself, even this random guy is allowed to assume that he's using Shimon's part. Now, even though Rav Shimon Yaakov says that the guy's allowed to come in, the Rashba points out that that's only going to be going for a need from Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov did not tell him that he just allowed to enter for his own unrelated purpose to the needs of Shimon. It's only when he specifically is using Shimon, Shimon wants him to come, then it's Kilu he's using Shimon's part of the field. But if Shimon doesn't want him to come, then Bada, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, one would not be allowed to enter the chatzar in that case. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up a Shabbos daf with Hamoder Hanam Echaveiro, and Mirtz Hashem after that will pick up the recordings of Mirtz Hashem with Daf Mem Zayin.